welcome to Magnify, the Real Estate Marketing Podcast. This is our first episode, our inaugural episode. Really happy you've joined us. You're getting in on the ground floor of our journey. My name is Paolo. I'm one of the team here at Showcase IDX. We don't just power websites. We are very passionate about helping agents grow their business, grow their presence online. And that's really what we're going to be focusing on during these episodes, talking to marketing experts, real estate agents that are in the trenches, doing the tactics that we're talking about, really seeing what the areas of success are for these people so we can help you develop your own strategies and your own ways of generating more income. Today, we're going to be joined by Kurt Euler, who is a growth catalyst, a speaker, author, operational leader. He's helped businesses go from startup to $500 million. He has a wealth of knowledge about marketing strategies and tactics that you can implement today, starting today, that will help drive your revenue up exponentially if you implement them properly. Really excited to get going, so let's take a listen.
All right, Kurt, thank you for joining us on our inaugural episode. Didn't feel right doing a marketing podcast and not having you on here first, so...
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So we're going to take a look at how to leverage low-cost marketing tactics. There's no doubt that the real estate industry and economically around the world, things are in a downturn. So we need to kind of look at how do we maximize what we have in front of us to generate more leads, generate more business. Figured you were the perfect person to talk to there. You know, so just on a 30,000 foot view, if I have X amount of dollars, what am I putting that into if I'm trying to generate business?
I think it depends on whether or not you're like, are you trying to generate business today? Because there's a short-term versus long-term kind of viewpoint too. So in the short term, if you want leads tomorrow, the only real way to do that is through pay-per-click ads. And so I love pay-per-click, but it's that flywheel that the moment you stop putting money in it, you don't get anything out the other side. And you're also not building something. You're not building that kind of compound interest in your personal brand. You're getting leads, but it's very different than if you're building something that comes from organic traffic so that you have a sphere of influences coming around you, or you're investing money into something so that you actually can rank in Google against, you know, Zillow and Redfin and Trulia.
Yeah. So the sphere of influence is an interesting one. I feel like, especially with real estate agents, it's often overlooked. You know, agents get very shiny toy syndrome, right? They always want the next new thing, the new leads. But the people you know are the best leads you have, right? So, you know, what kind of tactics can agents be looking to implement just for the sphere of influence?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, to me, agents, I think they are focused on the next new thing. And there's nothing wrong with, say, ads or new leads. But it's like most of when I've been able to look at tens of thousands of agent CRMs, the back end. What actually, you know, who's growing their business and who's not. And most of it's actually not coming from necessarily new leads. And we can talk a little bit more about like new leads versus, you know, existing sphere. But I don't think what agents realize is we live in an influence economy now. And so like the average consumer talks to at least three, and it's really almost four agents on average before they pick the agent that they work with. So whoever calls them from Zillow, they sign up on your website, they're still going to talk to other agents. And so what I'm looking for as a home buyer is, why should I work with you? And so agents don't realize that. They think, oh, I got somebody to sign up on my website. I got them from a Google search, from an ad, and they don't realize that they're being vetted on the other side. And, you know, and so if you instead realize the decision of who I'm going to work with as a buyer or seller is going to be based on what I think about you. And you're not trying to sell me penny stocks. So don't send me 20 emails and phone calls in 2 weeks trying to get me to commit right away. You need to show me the value that says, who are you and why should I work with you versus somebody else? And I mean, too often agents they're focused on just that very big, I help people buy houses. Well, it's like, really? Because that's not who I chose to help me sell, you know, buy this house. Yeah. I chose somebody that was very, very tight in their niche. And was very clear that they work with somebody not like me and they don't work with somebody like somebody else.
Yeah, often I think, and I always go with this when I was an active agent of, I thought about myself more than I thought about the client. Like, what's in it for the client here? And I had a situation where I had this couple I was showing houses to all the time, drop anything. I even took my baby with me one time. I think he was like 6 months old, took him on a showing. And then they ended up working with the listing agent of a listing. kind of dumped me, didn't work with me. I got no commission out of it because it was what was in it for them, right? And I wasn't providing enough value to them.
And not calling, and maybe not even calling out to them the value of like a buyer's agent versus the listing agent. And so it's your point is like, it's, I think like I sometimes you actually have to do this physically. Like I'll put on a pair of glasses and be like, all right, this is my marketing, or this is how I'm showing up to that client. I imagine I know nothing about me as that agent, and I'll put on my glasses and be like, all right, these are fresh glasses. They've never heard of Kurt Euler. How do they experience what I'm putting out to them? I mean, I talk to people. My wife actually says I can't talk to people out of church about this or at a barbecue or like, you know, a block party, because I even start asking people questions like, because I'm not an agent. So I'm also very, I don't know, there's no risk in talking to me either. And I'm like, I'd ask people questions like, do you know what happens when you sign up on Zillow? And they're like, they have no idea that like, yeah, they made $2 billion in selling contact information last year. And they're like, wait a second, they just sell my information, or they give it to an advertiser, like kind of at random. Like, well, it's not entirely random. It's more of who's going to pay them more money. And then they give it to an insurance agent, these things, and people don't realize that. And then I'm like, well, and then you always have somebody else and they'll go, you know, I don't even know why I should work with an agent anymore. And so I do what most agents should be. And I was like, well, you know, that listing agent, what they're actually doing, their job in most states is to get the best deal for the person that's selling the home. And don't you want, so they actually can't legally represent you as the buyer. You can't get both people the best deal. And as a buyer, like, and I point out what a listing agent is, and like 98% of the time, people are like, the same person that just said, I will never work with an agent. I don't need to pay that commission. I'll just work with whoever's selling the home. 98% of the time they go, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. I'd never not have an agent again. Yeah. And I'm like, how are agents not selling that as part of like when you come to their website or like they're doing a TikTok video or YouTube being like, here's what I do, and walk that through. And so it is just an influence of telling the story, but doing it in a way that's also doesn't have to be selling. And like, you know, it's influence to the point that if you're trying to do marketing, realize that like 90 to 95% of the time that you have people in your database, they're not actively buying and selling. So you have to have content that's useful to them that can soft sell them, so that when they are ready to transact in 2 years, you're still top of mind with them.
Yeah, I always say you want to be the last person someone thinks of and the first one they speak to. And it's exactly that. And
yeah.
You know, what content you provide, value, right? Whether that be educational, like telling someone what a listing agent is versus a buyer's agent or market conditions, that kind of thing. Just going back to the paperclip, what, you know, in terms of getting into the trenches, what kind of stuff would you be targeting on a local level in terms of keywords, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, in keywords, if you have an IDX that pulls in like the local listings, Google has some smart technology that'll actually create some ads for you, but I'm going to probably be targeting things that are going to be around my niche. So I live in Roswell, Georgia, a suburb north of Atlanta. I might be targeting, if I worked in all these condos in Roswell, Georgia, Roswell real estate, I'm going to very buyer related terms, unless I have already, written some content or done video content that is on tangential content. Festivals in Roswell, Georgia, things that are of interest to people that live here or might be moving here, at which point that's actually going to be a lot easier and more cost effective to target some ads on. But that's all if you're trying to get kind of new eyes. For me, I think every agent should have some dollars. Like you could literally have like $2, $3, $5 a day just on remarketing ads, so that somebody that's visiting your website, you put a pixel from Google or Facebook on there that is resharing, reshowing to them content to bring them back to that digital hub of you. So you put a pixel on there from Facebook and so now when you write a blog post next month, well, you actually change out that ad to reshow to somebody who has already visited your website before. Those remarketing ads are what everybody should be doing. You don't need to spend thousands of dollars on it, but it's going to keep you top of mind with the people that know you already.
Yeah, and talking about budget, I mean, it's always a difficult one to put a number on. But I know firsthand, a lot of agents always want to know, you know, what's the minimum I should be spending when it comes to my online advertising and that kind of thing? Would you give a ballpark, or is it really circumstantial?
The minimum I would say is zero, because depending on where you're at in your, I just say that in terms of where you're at in your business, the best place may not be to actually spend $60 a month in ads. The best place, if you're a newer agent or you're still, you don't have a website that's really built out, I'd probably rather you, rather than spending, you know, $2, $3, $5 a day, I'd probably rather you spend $60 to $100 a month and pay a content writer to write you a good piece of content or a good area-based kind of community page for your site, because it's going to add more value to you. It'll give you something to send out in a newsletter versus just an ad. But I mean, I would say, like, on the low end, I think agents should really plan on spending somewhere between $3 and $5 a day on remarketing ads at any level. Now, you can spend more as your business grows, but I mean, $5 a day is about $150 a month. And that's just on ads that are remarketing to people that have already visited your website. And so then it's all what type of content you put in there. That's probably the bare minimum I would have, with $0 going towards new lead generation. Now, if you're looking at new leads, it's really more of like the ranges come from how much are you trying to, you know, how many leads are you trying to generate? And so, I mean, leads are going to end up costing you somewhere between, you know, $12 to $60 a lead, depending on the market you're in and how good you are on those ads. And so, you know, if you just figure, say, it's $20 a lead, well, if you're spending $2 a day, it's going to take you 10 days on average to get a single sign up that you may or may not convert. And, but I'd rather people think about in terms of how many leads am I trying to get? And so do the math off of $20 a lead. How many dollars per day or per week do I need to spend to get that come in? And the reason I also want them thinking that is it's not as much as the dollar figure as the budget, which is important, but it's the time figure. I'll tell you consistently, when I look at agents' CRMs, even with those that are paying for ads, 70 to 80% of the time, the same agent that's paying for ads, 70 to 80% of the time, they're not actually following up and contacting that person. What in the hell are you doing spending $200 or $1,000 a month on ads and not calling 100% of the people? Even if the answer is just to say, hey, Paulo, I saw you sign up for my site. I don't know if you're actually looking to buy or sell, or you're just looking around, just to connect in some way for them. Like that should be 100%. And so what I want agents thinking about is, especially as the market's kind of slowing down here, is I want you thinking about how many leads am I paying for to come? Because I want you to make sure you're thinking about the process follow-up for them.
Yeah, follow-up's a big place where, and I was guilty of it too, a lot of agents just, like you said, don't do it. They think just having the lead in their database is enough, a nice trip campaign, but it's not going to convert. Because as you said, someone's going to speak to another 2, 3, 4 agents between now and the time they choose to transact, you know?
Well, and the market's slowing down. So I spoke to a large number of agents, I'll just leave it at that, in the state of Maryland today. So in Bright MLS. And I got to see the changes from last month to the same month last year. And some numbers are actually very positive from last week compared to the week before. But year-over-year numbers are bad there. And I know it's that way in a lot of parts of the country. But it's like, for me, it's like, I think this is part of where I'm thinking about, where it's like, you know, I've thought about this in things in the past, where it's like, hey, this is the time that if you do things right, you as an agent can add a zero to your net worth in a couple of years. Like, that's a huge thing. Do you have $200,000 net worth? Do you have $2 million? If you do the right things now, this is where you can at least 2x or 3x your business, because things are going to slow down, and hopefully you can take some market share versus other agents. But this is when, if you're not doing transactions, you're not doing things, you invest the time and maybe some capital right now, that your business will be so large in a number of years that it will fundamentally change the future of your family.
Yeah. In terms of tactics, what would you recommend for that on a good kind of ground level?
I mean, to a large degree for me, it is follow-up is a huge bit of it. But I mean, agents have to have, this is the time when you invest in things that don't cost money or don't cost just pay-per-click dollars. Because, hey, the market's slowing down. A lot of agents, you know, you have the same amount of agents, sometimes the same ad budgets, and people are going after a smaller number of buyers. So the cost per lead is just going to keep increasing. Instead, this is when, like, agents should have their own website. That's like that digital hub for them, so that if they're doing email, they're doing TikTok, they're doing Pinterest, it always brings people back to there. If they're doing pay-per-click, it brings it back. But this is when they should be then, yeah, you get somebody to build out a basic website for you, and you build a couple of these little community pages, whether it's, I'll say with the Roswell example, condos for sale in Roswell, or I live in a neighborhood called Bristol Oaks. This is when I should be taking the time as an agent to write out those little community pages with some local search stuff for a couple of reasons. One is that it's going to help me start to rank against Google over time. But when somebody signs up, I need to call somebody right away and be more inquisitive and not try to sell. Most people are very hesitant right now. I can look at the stats across thousands of agents' websites, millions of visitors on site on sites on a monthly basis. And I can see the number of registrations has declined somewhat in the last couple of months. But the number of people actually clicking the button that says, talk to an agent or I want to see this home, that has dropped significantly in the last couple of months. So people are still out there. They're thinking about what they want to do. And so when somebody signs up on your site or they click on your ad, this is when what I want to do is I want to call you up. And like most agents, you said, don't want to follow up. Well, if I know that about myself and I call you and just go, hey, I'm not trying to sell you, what's probably going on in your mind? God, my neighbor sold the home next, you know, for $600,000 last month or 2 months ago. What's mine worth now? And so if I just say, you want to know what's going on and you have a home search, well, this is when you get to just sense, if you're soft, you can get somebody to sign up for a drip campaign on your IDX right now that will pay benefits over the next 2 or 3 years. Yeah. Paula, you want to know what your neighbors are renovating in your neighborhood right now? I can sign you up for some open houses just so that you can go see what people are doing in the bathrooms or kitchens. I know you're not looking to buy or sell. You're figuring things out. Like, that's an inquisitive thing that I'm helping meet somebody for curiosity. Or, hey, the market's changing. I know, especially if you've helped somebody buy or sell a home. This is when you should go back to everybody right now and reach out to them and say, hey, I know you bought a home 2 years ago. The market shifted. You're probably not looking to buy and sell. Can I just sign you up to let you see new listings on the market so you can see what's happening? And when you're ready or you have questions, just reach out to me. You don't want to be selly to them, but when they get those emails, those listing emails, and you do not sign them up for like listing comes out, sign up, it comes out right away. Like, this needs to be like a once a day, maybe once a week kind of email comes back to them, because you want them to keep getting it. And then that will lead to referrals. That will lead to people like choosing to use you in a year or 2 years while they're figuring things out. And every email that comes out, you didn't do anything. Hey, you're part of Bright MLS. Somebody else puts a new listing in there in their neighborhood. It comes out. What comes out from your website is Paulo. And it reminds me, oh, you're my agent. That's what I need.
Yeah. I mean, I tell people all the time, I know a lot of people who will spend a Friday evening with Zillow or Realtor.com pulled up on their TV screen and they're looking at houses. So you're not showing people any information they don't want to see. You know, so why not be the kind of the gatekeeper, quote unquote, of real estate information for people and be, like you said earlier, top of mind.
Yeah. And it trains, and in some degree, you're training your clients to use your website without, but people are going to go to what's the path of least resistance. They go to Zillow or they go to Google and their search term takes them to Zillow. Well, you want that. You just talk to them. Or when you meet them in person and you ask for what's going on, then you can still go set up that search on your own website and your IDX for it to drip out to them. And then just like, it just kind of works by itself and you're not selling for them. Or like, you know, I have actually, I not from the agent side, but I had have a mortgage broker here in town that saw that I had a skid steer out on our property making trails this weekend. He sent me some messages just kind of asking about some things and then dropped a link into, because he knows I'm thinking about what do we want to do with that property to a property he saw for sale. He knows like I'm not looking to buy or sell. He goes, hey, I saw this and I thought you might find what they've done with their property interesting.
Yeah.
God, an agent could have done that same thing to me to be able to like, and then send me up something like, hey, you're looking for to do this with your property. Can I just set you up with a search so that when somebody's doing something like that anywhere in the state of Georgia, it trips out to you and then you decide what you want to do. God, that would be immensely valuable to me, not selly at all. And it's going to make sure that you always stay top of mind.
Yeah. Those magic four words, right? I thought of you. Right. Where you're endeared to that person because they actually put some effort into you and person on the spreadsheet.
Well, and I like doing the home search too. One is the market has shifted so much. I'm thinking about where does an agent invest time today so that, like I said, they add a net zero to their net worth in 2 to 3 years. Well, the way you do that is by making sure you're sending out useful real estate related content to your people today. Well, if you know that 90, 95% of your clients are not buying and selling or prospects are not buying or selling in the next 2 years, well, what content's useful to them? Meet them with inquisitive content. So you either need to agree that you're going to set aside the time to write content on your own website, original content on a weekly basis to drip out to them. And if you're going to do that, awesome. If you're going to be big on TikTok or YouTube, more power to you. But I think most agents, if they're honest, are realize that they're not going to put in that time consistently over the next 2 years. So I would rather them reach back out to their current clients, set up some drip campaigns for open houses or new for sale from an inquisitive nature. Yeah. And then when you choose to write a blog post, when you choose to record a video, now you have something you can add in addition to, but you're already making sure you have something to send out once a week, once a month to your whole database. And whether you reach out to them or you hire somebody in the Philippines that's very nice and reaches out and says, hey, I'm working with Kurt Euler and he wanted me to reach out and find out, could he set you up with this kind of search so you know what's going on? Great. That's the best $2 to $4 an hour you will ever spend.
Yeah, in terms of cadence, do you have a recommended, weekly, monthly, bi-weekly? Or is it really just as long as you're going to do it consistently?
Yeah, I think if you're going to write content or videos, and I'd rather somebody just plan on you're doing two a month right now and you get started there. But yeah. If you're setting up those kind of drip campaigns going out to people, I'd say it depends. If you're signing somebody up and you give them that little inquisitive thing about open houses, it should probably be as narrow as possible around a similar type of home as theirs. And that's one message that should come out from your site to them when the open house comes out. Because you want to make sure that they're actually getting it. They can plan, oh, there's an open house on Saturday. I want to go see what my neighbors did with their bathroom. Yeah. So you want to get on their calendar. If it's just for sale listings, again, from that inquisitive factor, I think the sweet spot is a once a week summary email that goes out from your site to them. New listing when it hits the market, I'm going to turn it off because I get too many emails unless I'm actively buying and selling. Once a month may not be quite enough, but once a week, when something meets their meets similar to their current property, that's probably a good cadence.
Yeah. Okay. And just kind of circling back to social media, because I know agents are always asking, what should they be on? What should they be putting their time into? Really the answer is all of it, right? But where would you imagine an agent should be putting their time and efforts into creating content for on a social media standpoint?
Yeah, actually, I might not say all of it. I might say all of it just from a drip campaign. So I use a tool sometimes called Missing Letter. It's a web 2.0 name, so there's no E at the end of it. But I can put in evergreen content. And so it has different things. So I could say, hey, here's a new community page that I wrote. And it would drip out to my Facebook pages or group or Twitter accounts over the next 400 days, if that was the pattern I had. That's good for some, if I kind of want to be everywhere a little bit. How many agents are actually on LinkedIn? Well, Missing Letter is a good way to put in the content you have to get repurposed over time. But as far as where should they be? I'd say you should only be as an agent, you should only focus on the channels that you're actively on. I mean, because consistency is what's going to grow your business, especially over the next 2 to 3 years. And whether the market picks up really quickly, which I don't think any of us really believe that, or if it stays slow, you're building for the medium and long term here. And so I give the example of I have a TikTok account, but I never log into TikTok. So for me to try to change my behavior, to pull up TikTok to do something, that's going to be a change of behavior that I'm probably not going to do it. So on the other hand, my wife is on TikTok all the time. So if that was that would be where she would start doing content because she has the app up already. Me, on the other hand, I'm on Instagram a good bit. And so sometimes I post, but I tend to scroll on it a good bit. So that's a change from a behavior perspective. All I have to do is just hit boom and talk about Bristol Oaks, the neighborhood I'm in today. And so I think agents should focus on where are you already active? And that's where you should spend some time. And then if you want to try stepping out from that consistency, you can do that a little bit more. So only in the last maybe month have I started to post a little bit more on Twitter. I have those automated messages that go out, but when I post to Instagram, which auto posts my personal Facebook, I also went, all right, like now I should go post this natively in Twitter because it's a different experience when you post a picture straight there. And so, but I'm still not consistent with it. And so I think agents should focus on being where they already are on social, because success is going to come from you actually participating.
Yeah. You know, with all the talk of social media, it's one thing I heard you saying one time, we've said it a lot since the first time I heard you say it, but you know, the importance of having your own website. I don't think agents really put enough emphasis on that importance because, you know, as you said, any of these social media platforms could disappear overnight, right? Think of MySpace, Facebook's dropping. You need that central place that customers can find you, and that should be where you're publishing content. If I'm a new agent and I've, you know, just got my license, what should I be building on my site? What should my website be?
I think you have to have a website, and it has to have a home search on it that a consumer would actually use, that you would actually use. Because if they, you know, and I think a lot of agents, especially agents that have been, you know, been in business for, you know, 5 years or more, especially those that have been an agent for 10 years or more, they often think of IDX and they think of these archaic websites that have subdomains or iframes, and they're just, they're a horrible experience compared to Zillow. And so they're like, well, why would I want that? Nobody will actually come and use that site. Or maybe that site's good for generating pay-per-click leads, but it's nobody's actually going to use it. And so I think the first thing is they need to think about having a site that's powered by a home search that their consumers will actually use. Because especially as a new agent or an agent without a lot of business, like the only thing I can guarantee you in real estate is if you don't have a site that your clients will actually use for their home search, they're going to go to Zillow. And what happens on Zillow? You know that Zillow is going to provide their contact information to another agent. And so if you're a new agent or a part-time agent, and hey, you're like, I even think about this, it's more important to have your own site if you're a newer agent even, just from are you still going to be an agent in a couple of years? Because what happens when I reach out to my aunt and I say, hey, I'm working in real estate now, I'd love you to use this. If she goes to Zillow and signs up, well, Zillow's going to send her information to somebody who can pay for it. There's an agent that's closing 60 to 100 deals a year. And so now my aunt just got a call from somebody who's been in real estate for 12 years, that's cranking through business, that can talk the talk and knows it really well. And now she is in this cognitive dissonance where she has to go, God, do I work with Kurt, who's my nephew and I love, and I know he knows business, but he's new in real estate? Or do I talk to Amanda, who just called me because she's using Zillow? You don't ever want to put your small sphere that knows you very well in that circumstance early on, because if you lose that one transaction, those three transactions this year, that could be the change of your business for this year.
Yeah.
And so the only thing I can guarantee you is if you don't have that home search that your clients will actually use, they're going to go to use Zillow. So a competitive agent is going to call them.
Yeah. If not three or four, at least I know when I first got my license, that's how they were doing it, right?
Yeah. Well, on the other side too, I want agents to have the conversation with, especially that small sphere that says, like, look, there should be a privacy concern to some degree that says, look, there's nothing wrong with buying ads. I think ads are a great thing, but says my, you know, if I'm the agent and you're on my site, I should only get paid by actually helping you. It's my job to protect your self-interest and to protect you, which means protecting your contact information. That's not Zillow's business. Zillow's business is predominantly, they do have other things, but Zillow's predominant business is advertising revenue, whether that's a revenue share or pay-per-click or Premier. They're generating money by providing lead information out. That's not what most people think that they're doing when they're looking for a home. And so I would, gosh, like imagine if, as an agent, you could get somebody to realize that when they go fill out a website, for a home, it's no different than, would you ever go log on to some website for a financial advisor and say, hey, I have a $500,000 401k that I'm going to change brokerages in the net, or IRA that I'm going to change brokerages in the next 60 days, and then just hit send and let them do whatever.
Yeah. No,
but that's what you're doing if you're buying a $500,000 home. It says, I'm going to do a major transaction in the next 60 to 90 days. And so I would want to make sure that I'm choosing who I work with and not just who randomly called me because I filled out a lead capture form.
Yeah, definitely. And then obviously you want to be posting content on there. You could build it yourself, right? I mean, you can jump into WordPress and build, but really you want it to be a professional looking storefront.
You want it to be a professional site. And say it's also where are your skills best applied? And that's usually relationships. It's knowing the local market. It's perhaps writing content or doing a voice note to a content writer so they can write it. And so if you happen to be skilled in WordPress, great. But if you're not, this isn't a place to kind of learn that. I mean, I can go build a website myself. And yet if I was an agent, I wouldn't build a site because there's better uses of my time for my business. And so, investing in an agency or a consultant that has built other very good real estate websites in the past with Showcase IDX, like that's a great use of time. The other place I would say where I have seen some agents be successful is like WordPress isn't that hard. It's just whether or not it's hard for you. And so I'm a big believer in bringing up the next generation. So do you have a 14-year-old daughter that's really good with computers and graphics? She can probably build your website. Or is this a place to bring your niece or nephew into your business? And whether you pay them or not, that's hugely valuable for them and you to, I know tons of 13 and 14 and 15 year olds that could build a WordPress site that will go toe to toe with a lot of good agencies in a Saturday. They just need, what they need is you sitting next to them, telling them, here's the one I like. Now let's go make it look like that and giving them the content.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure there's some agents listening to this that will say, well, I'm glad you said all that. I've just signed up with a brokerage. They provide me with a website. It's got a CRM in the background, in the back end rather, and there's a home search on there. I'm all set, right?
Maybe. I mean, you are until you change brokerages. So, I mean, just the two things I think about it is one is there's the all-in-one versus like what's actually the best tool for there. And so like, hey, I have that multi-use tool with pliers and a knife. And would you ever give 20 of those to 20 people to go build your new home? No, you'd expect them to use specialized tools. Well, that all-in-one, it's kind of like that. It might be one thing really well, like the CRM, but it's not going to have a home search that people are actually going to use. But more than that, it's great that your brokerage has given you something. And in many cases, the CRM is what's actually really good there. But even there, my advice to an agent is, I need you to think about protecting your business. And so I hope you want to stay at your brokerage. I hope you love your brokerage and you're there for the next 12 or 15 years. But NAR says on average, agents change brokerages every 5 years, which means if you just change brokerages, chances are in 5 years, you're not going to be there. And so if somebody is used to going to kurt.broker.com, as a subdomain site, or that technology that the SEO that's been built up goes to a brokerage website. Well, when I'm not there anymore, well, who's going to keep my leads that are used to going there? That brokerage that I'm no longer at.
Yeah.
And so as opposed to the best thing, I think your brokerage gives you this big suite of tools. You should own your website. And that's not built on the technology usually from your broker, but it's on your own domain, built with technology that you choose, that the best of breed for you, that then feeds into whatever you choose to use for your business, which could be something provided by your broker or might not be.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you say it every 5 years. I mean, I was at four different brokerages within 6 years. But you never want that to affect your business decisions, right? If you could get a better split with a different brokerage and then you're scared of leaving because they're going to keep all your leads and all your home searches and everything, then, you know, you're going to lose money.
I don't think it was last week. It was 2 weeks ago. I was on LabCode Agents and somebody posted, they gave notice to their brokerage and their brokerage, what did they do? They turned them right off. They had never exported their contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So they had been with that brokerage for 3 or 4 years and were at point zero really with their business at that point.
Yeah.
And like, oh my gosh. And so brokerages are very valuable. But you're a 1099 contractor. It's your business, not the brokerage's. And so, in my belief, you should always have your leads at least pulled out monthly, if not weekly. If you're using something like Showcase IDX, like you can send your leads over to KB Core or Line Desk or Follow Boss or whatever, you know, your Keller command, that can all happen. But I'm still also usually going to use something free like Zapier to send them to Google Sheet just in case I ever needed to rebuild my business.
Yeah.
Because it's your business. It's not belong to your brokerage. It belongs to you. And so the most valuable things for you are your personal brand and your contacts. And so you've got to have access to your contacts and your brand. It should contain your website, because today, like the algorithms, like on any social network could change. There were, you know, 5 years ago, I could post on Facebook and 15% of my audience might see it, or 5% of my audience might see it. Now it's like 0.05. And so TikTok used to be really good for organic reach. And now that's shifted in the last like 60 days or so. And so that doesn't mean agents shouldn't be on TikTok if that's where, you know, where you're spending time, but it does mean you should be training people to go to around your personal brand. And that needs to be something that you own, not your brokerage.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, I mean, kind of summarizing, it really is just all comes down to consistency and doing all of the above. Whatever you are going to do consistently, whatever your budget allows, is you just got to stay with it. You know, in great markets, you're going to have an influx of agents, and the ones in the downturn, the ones who are consistent, the ones who are going to keep making money, and as you said, add a zero to their net worth.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time, and it's like, I think too often, as things start to slow down, agents start to feel scarcity, and they start to act out of a scarcity mindset, where, look, the market is going to turn, but even now, there will be agents during this downturn that will grow their individual businesses, because they realize that, hey, like, yeah, maybe the total number of transactions that go down, but if you instead wake up every day and go, wow, there's, and you come up with an abundance mindset that says, there's huge opportunity out there. I choose to go take it. It's just choosing, are you going to take action today or not?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, while the pie might be getting smaller, you can increase your share of it.
Absolutely.
Increase your slice. Oh, well, thank you for joining us. Anything you want to, you know, push out for yourself? Where can people find you?
I mean, if anybody's looking for some of that mindset type of information, they can come to my personal website, curtuehler.com. And so that's a great place to find things that's not just you know work related, but more about how do you find success both at home and at work.
Yeah, and actually that's very applicable to real estate agents, right? It's all about mindset. You know, you're essentially an entrepreneur, so I think that'd be very valuable for people to go and check out.
Yeah. So that was our inaugural episode with Kurt. Really hope you guys got some useful stuff out of that. Going forward, we'll be speaking with other marketing experts, other leaders in the field, other agents, web developers, anybody that we think can help you grow your business. That's what we're here to do. Please rate, please subscribe. Look forward to starting this journey with you. We'll talk to you again soon.